Welcome to Mr. Cack and Me, where you are the me, and I am the Mr. Cack. And that makes sense if you think about it, I think. I don't know. But that's kind of what today's episode, or this week, or this bi-weekly, however you want to word it, this episode is about, is something doesn't make sense, and then you start to dig into it just a little bit more, and does it make any more sense than it did before? So, that's just kind of the tease, but we're talking about the Georgia Guidestones. This is a subject matter I didn't really have any idea about until my friend Zach, who goes by Al. I know it's fun and exciting, but Zach, he goes by Al. His username is AlButerolMan, and I've had him on here before. But him and our other friend TJ, we all do another podcast together, and we were sitting down talking about these Georgia Guidestones. So if you're like me and you had never heard of the Georgia Guidestones, we start discussing it. Zach, Al, starts explaining it a little bit more, and I start to, one, have questions. And then it seems like when questions get answered relating to these gosh dang stones, more questions arise. So if you're one of those junkies that likes a little investigation or like a little deep dive into what eventually spawns into a semi-true crime, not a murder mystery, but property damage mystery. Dun, dun, dun. I know. I'm as shocked, appalled, and excited and confused as you are right now, potentially. So if you would like to go on this adventure with us, I just ask you to sit back, relax, and welcome to a world where Georgia had four big rocks stacked upon one another or next to each other, and insanity ensues. So I hope you enjoy this. I appreciate you all tuning in to listen to Mr. Cack and Me. If you have a fascinating, weird, but potentially true story that you would like to discuss with me, please let me know. Please contact me. My contact information will be found wherever you're listening to this podcast. I'll make sure to throw my link tree in there, but it is linktr.ee/TheMrCack. So the TheMrCack. And you can find my contact on there. You can bug me on social media, either on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And you can send me a direct message or whatever and say, hey, Mr. Cack, I am knowledgeable of blank, insert, weird but true thing. And it can be either a thing that you've come across that you are just interested in, or it could be something that's happened to you. Listen, I am still, one of my favorite episodes of Mr. Cack and Me happened to be going back and listening to Treva talk about her ghost-related story. So I am fascinated. If something's happened to you, or if you are knowledgeable of some weird but true thing, I want to hear it from you. I want to discuss it with you. I want to question along with you. What I don't want to do is belittle your belief. That's not what I'm here for. Now, I will poke fun when fun needs to be poked, but at the same time, I've expressed this before. If you've listened to any of the previous episodes where Al and I discuss these cryptids or some of these urban legends or weird folktale type things, I have always come with it with skepticism, of course, but also I end with this. I want the weird, I want the unexplained, I want the supernatural to fundamentally, at a level, be true. Why? Because it makes this existence fun. It provides interest in what could be just a mundane mechanic of life, right? If there is nothing greater, if there is nothing spectacular, if all there is to this are the animals that we see, or just really anything that we see and comprehend, well, that's just a little bit boring, right? I'm not saying that you have to believe in anything. I'm not saying you need to believe in anything. I'm not saying ghost, aliens, it seems like that's becoming a little bit more real. I'm not saying any of these creatures, these legends, I'm not saying any of this stuff is for a fact real. Nor, I guess this is what I'm saying, nor do I care. Nor do I ultimately care. Because if there is something out there that someone believes, then there's some hint of authenticity to that, right? Not saying it's real, but it's real to them. And if you believe it, if you bought in, if you're invested, then you know what? I am not here to crash on your parade. I think that saying is rain on your parade, but I mean, I'm fired up. I'm fired up defending those of you that have had a supernatural experience or believe in the supernatural. So again, I want to hear from you if you have weird but true stories. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if I know or don't know you. I would like to have you on this podcast. I'd like to talk. And if you don't believe me, well, just listen to myself, TJ, and Zach slash Al discuss the Georgia Guidestones. Spoiler alert, I get a little bit wound up on the mystery of who blew up the Georgia Guidestones. There you go. There's a tease. All right. Enjoy. All right, speaking of fearful of things, we got a cryptid corner, Al, if you would like to... You'd like to begin the discussion on the Georgia Guidestones.
All right. So,
and then we can watch the video at the end of this discussion.
Okay.
So, TJ, are you still good sticking around for the cryptid corner, or you need a bell?
I'll wait till 9:30 before bailing. Okay. I kind of want to hear a little bit about this.
All right. All perfect.
Right. So we'll start with a little bit of overview. This is called the Georgia Guidestones. The Georgia Guidestones are a granite monument erected in 1980 in Elbert County, Georgia, here in the United States. A set of 10 guidelines is inscribed on the structure in 8 modern languages, and a shorter message is inscribed at the top of the structure in 4 ancient scripts. The monument stands in approximate elevation of 750 feet above sea level, about 90 miles east of Atlanta, 45 miles from Athens, and 9 miles from the center of the city of Elberton, Georgia. One slab stands in the center with 4 ranged around it. A capstone lies on the top of the 5 slabs, which are astronomically aligned. An additional stone tablet, which is set in the ground a short distance to the west of the structure, provides some notes of the history and purpose of the Guidestone. The structure is sometimes referred to as an American Stonehenge. The monument is 19 feet and 3 inches tall, made of 6 granite slabs weighing 237,746 pounds in all. The anonymity of the Guidestone authors and their apparent advocacy of population control, eugenics, and internationalism have made them an object of controversy and conspiracy.
So before you continue, Al, I want to do a little backtrack here. So we have these Guidestones, and they're in Georgia, and they want to be hailed as the American Stonehenge. But what year did they get erected in?
1980.
1980. So these things have been standing 7 years longer than I've been alive. Okay, that doesn't seem like a very firm leg to stand on. Okay, and all of it seems like, okay, this is interesting. You got some astronomical alignment. That's pretty cool. And then your final sentence was their apparent advocacy for population control, eugenics, and internationalism. What?
Just get ready. Get ready.
All right, continue.
We'll get to the history of it. In June 1979, a man using the pseudonym R.C. Christian approached the Elberton Granite Finishing Company on behalf of a small group of loyal Americans and commissioned the structure. Christian explained that the stones would function as a compass, calendar, and clock and should be capable of withstanding catastrophic events. Joe Finley of Elberton Granite assumed that Christian was a nut and attempted to discourage him by providing a quote for the commission, which was several times higher than any project the company had previously taken, explaining that the Guidestones would require additional tools and consultants. Finley surprised, Christian accepted the quote, and during arranging payments, Christian said that he represented a group of which had been planning the Guidestones for 20 years and which wanted to remain anonymous. Christian delivered a scale model of the Guidestones and 10 pages of a specification. The five-acre site was apparently purchased by Christian on October 1st, 1979, from farm owner Wayne Mullinex. Mullinex and his children were given lifetime cattle grazing rights on the Guidestone site. On March 22nd, 1980, the monument was unveiled before an audience variously described as 100 or 400 people. Christian later transferred ownership of the land and the Guidestones to Elbert County.
All right, so again, so I'm clear. A mysterious organization, 20 years in the making, was like, hey, we want rocks placed in a specific way, and we want to ride on them, and we're going to give all the land around it to these people to graze their cattle. And then after a certain point, we're going to be like, screw it. We're giving it to the county.
Yeah, I don't know.
Illuminati isn't what I the Southern America Illuminati isn't the Illuminati isn't what I was expecting from this. Y'all better listen to the New World Order now. You hear?
He was quoted so like way over the price and still pays for it. So,
which is terrifying, right? That's a scary thought. The man that built it should have been just beyond all belief, scared out of his mind of like, I am dealing with some seriously. this is how. What was it? The Hunt, the secret organization behind The Hunt. That movie that we saw on Hulu with Sebastian Stan.
Oh yeah.
Fresh, like, Hostile. This is encroaching upon a international group of very rich people that can just do stuff and probably hunt people for sport. You may continue.
All right, so now we'll get into the what's inscribed on the stones.
Perfect.
A message consisting of a set of 10 guidelines or principles is engraved on the Georgia Guidestones in 8 different languages. One language on each face of the 4 large upright stones moving clockwise around the structure from due north. These languages are English, Spanish, Swahili, Hindi, Hebrew, Arabic, traditional Chinese, and Russian. The 10 guidelines are: 1. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. 2. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. 3. Unite humanity with a living new language. 4. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. 5. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. 6. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. 7. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. 8. Balance personal rights with social duties. 9. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And 10. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature.
All right. So they're only advocating for the extinction of at least 6.5 billion people. Like, that's not too much to ask. 6.5 billion, we don't need y'all. We just need to be down to a clean 500 million. No more. Maybe less. This is a weird manifesto. Listen, crazier people have just wrote this stuff down in books, Al. But you may continue.
So we'll talk about the explanatory tablet now. A few feet to the west of the monument, an additional granite ledger has been set level with the ground. This tablet identifies the structure and the languages used on it and lists various facts about the size, weight, and astronomical features of the stones, the date it was installed, and the sponsors of the project. It also refers to a time capsule buried underneath the tablet, but blank spaces on the stone intended for the filling in the dates on which the capsule was buried and is to be opened have not been inscribed, so it is uncertain if the capsule is there. The tablet is somewhat inconsistent with respect to punctuation and misspells the word pseudonym.
Good.
At the top of the tablet is written, the Georgia Guidestone Center Cluster erected March 22, 1980. Immediately below this is the outline of a square with let these be guidestones to an age of reason written inside of it. Around the edges of the square are written translation to 4 languages, 1 per edge. Starting from the top and proceeding clockwise, the languages are Babylonian cuneiform, classic Greek, Sanskrit, and ancient hieroglyphs. On the left side of the tablet is the following column of text. Astronomical features, channel through stone indicates celestial pole, horizontal slot indicates annual travel of sun, and the sunbeam through capstone marks noontime throughout the year. Author R.C. Christian, a pseudonym spelt wrong, sponsors a small group of Americans who seek the age of reason. Time capsule placed 6 feet below the spot on blank to be opened on blank. On the right side of the tablet breaks down the physical data of all the stones and where they were sourced from.
TJ, you're on board with all this right now, right?
I don't know what the hell this is.
I mean, they had me at a horizontal slot indicates annual travel of sun, if we're just being honest.
I'm still stuck on the whole, like, it was built in the 80s and 1980, and they want to consider it like the Stonehenge of America, America's Stonehenge. It's almost as dumb as being like, all right, well, obviously someone put it there, but, you know, it's like saying Mount Rushmore is America's Stonehenge. It's like, we don't know how those faces got in that mountain. It's just like, suddenly they appeared.
Something has done cause quite a stir, and the stones have been erected.
I mean, this is a very, like, interesting thing that has been erected in the states that we don't know where they came from. So,
I mean, that just leads me to believe what the hell else is going on in Georgia I don't know about, you know? What else are them Georgians doing? But TJ, just to comment on what you said, you don't know how this can get any stupider. Well, I've read ahead. Just you wait, TJ.
So it has some actual astronomical features to it. The four outer stones are oriented to mark the limits of the 18.6-year lunar declination cycle. The Perfect. Center column features a hole drilled at an angle from one side to the other, through which can be seen the North Star. The same pillar has a slot carved through it, which is aligned with the sun's solstices and equinoxes. A 7/8-inch aperture in the capstone allows a ray of sun to pass through at noon each day, shining a beam on the center stone, indicating the day of the year.
Okay, I want to make something clear first. The astronomical thought put into all of this, that actually is super creative, super cool, really, really interesting stuff. It's the insanity that lies around it, I think, that then causes you to take a step back and say, well, that's an interesting feat that someone smart did, but also they were huffing glue and could be insane.
It's one of those things where it almost sounds like, hey, we should write something on this, because if we don't and it's just a bunch of big, you know, granite slabs, then someone's going to come up and write something on it themselves. So we should go ahead and do that. So let's think of the craziest shit we can.
Oh, no, I feel very confident that there were eight people in a room, and it's basically how I picture sequels getting made in the 80s. Someone with a science background with physics and had some kind of love for the astronomy was like, we should make this structure, make it to where no matter how much technology advances, you go to these stones, you look through this specific hole, you can see the North Star at all times. And then down the other end of the table, someone just did a rail of coke and said, and then we tell them to get rid of all the fucking people. It's just like, well, well, we're all equally contributing to the money, so I assume we have to include both.
and the fact that it's written so many different languages.
Yeah. I mean, again, there's a lot of interesting thoughtfulness to this, but then there's just some things it's like, well, why? Why, though? Why Georgia? Why?
I don't know.
That's probably the most mind-blowing thing to me, and I think once we get a little bit deeper when it talks about vandalism, I think that's where it's going to justify my, why Georgia? This would have went untouched in Idaho, Montana, South Dakota, North Dakota, Washington State, and maybe Vermont. Why? Why? Why Georgia? All right, now you may continue.
Now we'll get to some of the interpretations from different people from throughout the history and stuff, current history. Yoko Ono said the inscribed messages are a stirring call to rational thinking, while Wired stated that unspecified opponents have labeled them as the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. The Guidestones have become a subject of interest for conspiracy theorists. One of them, an activist named Mark Dice, demanded that the Guidestones are of deep satanic origin, and that R.C. Christian belongs to a Luciferian secret society related to the New World Order. At the unveiling of the monument, a local minister proclaimed that the monument was for sun worship and for the devil worship. Conspiracy theorist Jay Widener has said that the pseudonym of the man who commissioned the stones, R.C. Christian, resembles Rose Cross Christian or Christian Rosenkreuz, the founder of the Rosicrucian Order. One interpretation of the stones is that they describe the basic concept required to build a devastated civilization. Author Brad Meltzer notes that the stones were built in 1979 at the height of the Cold War, and thus argues that they may have been intended as a message to the possible survivors of a nuclear war, World III. The engraved suggestions to keep humanity's population below 500 million could have been made under the assumption that war had already reduced it below that number. The guide stones were briefly shown and discussed in the documentary film Sherman's March, an in-game blueprint for global enslavement, and were featured extensively in a 2012 episode of Mystery at the Museums, a monumental mysteries special featuring Don Wildman.
You know what? Honestly, in light of a Cold War, nuclear, holocaust, ravaged, dystopian future, the Guidestones don't seem all that crazy anymore. Also, I do appreciate, because I think if you would have done this in Idaho, you wouldn't have the immediate, this is the work of the devil pop up, when some of this devil-worshipping practice was, unite humanity with a living new language, rule with passion, faith, tradition, and all things tempered in reason. With the devil, avoid petty laws and useless officials. For the devil, and be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature, and the devil. Like I mean, population control is always going to be very, very much a. You can't talk about that, right? You're advocating for the death of people that are currently here. You're not going to find a lot of proponents that are saying population control, good thing. But the balance personal rights with social duties, that's the work of the devil. Like, I feel like that's just like what I try to do daily. Am I a Luciferian? Like, what is going on? TJ, are you part of the New World Order?
I think at this point, aren't we all?
That's fair. Yoko Ono is the one they asked to speak on this. Might be the most absurd bullshit in all of it. That's like, I don't know. I can't even think of the... it's like asking Jewel her contemporary thoughts on like the Loch Ness Monster. I don't give two tiddly shits. Or Sinead O'Connor. Let's get Sinead O'Connor's thoughts on like the war in Ukraine. I don't want that. I don't care. Like, why? Why are we at Yoko Ono? All right, Al, you may continue.
Now we'll talk about some of the vandalism that's happened. In 2008, the stones were defaced with polyurethane paint and graffiti with slogans such as "Death to the New World Order." Wired magazine called the defacement the first serious act of vandalism in the Guidestones' history. In September 2014, an employee of the Elbert County Maintenance Department contacted the Federal Bureau of Investigation when the stones were vandalized with graffiti, including the phrase "I am Isis, goddess of love." And in recent news, like a few weeks ago, the Guidestones have been bombed and major destruction was done to them. For now, law enforcement, including the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, is still searching for those who planted the explosive. The GBI has released surveillance videos, but have not shared any other details so far.
And we are actually going to take a little moment, watch that video, and see if we can crack this case. So let me switch you boys over so you can see the full video. Switch screen. Blam. There we go. And there we go. And let us begin. So you see the dot. Little dotty dot.
You think they would have an HD camera up there by now?
I'm surprised we're not sitting here saying it's aliens. Of course it's aliens.
There's two people there, isn't there?
There's two people. You're right.
They were carrying a massive bomb.
They just threw the bomb and ran?
Well, wouldn't you?
yeah, but I mean, it seemed like, I don't know, for the amount of destruction, I guess, that is being implied, I assumed that this was something that might have, I'm thinking of, like, Jeremy Irons in Die Hard 3, where they, like, go through and they break into Fort Knox. I'm thinking of that kind of Machiavellian nature. But no, it's just some Georgia boys went through a goddamn bomb on Georgia Guidestones. I'm kind of sad. Do we see the explosion?
Hold up.
Is this just them running?
I think.
Yeah, it looks like it's the people or person.
I got it right here. I'll send it to you.
Okay, perfect. not to be that kind of person.
You know,
I
mean,
see the boom bomb.
The funny thing is, it's like, it looks like it may have just been like someone who's just sit there and just was really pissed off at this thing for no apparent reason whatsoever. Because it absolutely
well, the
has
devil
no
made
impact,
it, TJ.
No impact on their lives whatsoever, and they're just like, I'm gonna blow it up. And then someone, and then like his buddy would probably been like, well, oh, shit, or, you know, shit, or get off the pot, you know, I'll stop talking about it, go do it.
Yeah, this is very much a South Park, they took her jibs kind of thing. Where the barkeep's like, well, now they didn't mean you no harm. Them Guidestones are doing no wrong. And it's like, ah, they took her jabs. I was sitting out in that field. My grandpappy was sitting out in that field. Now these goddamn giant stones. All right, let's watch this. Let's watch it go kaboomy. Because I lack a moral compass. Bam! You know, they honestly still seem more composed than what I thought. Oh, the getaway car! I was expecting like a maroon Trans Am with a fucking phoenix on the front hood. Bam! I mean, even if you don't agree with it, why are you bombing the Georgia Guidestones? Like, come on now. You know they were listening to, like, either Freebird, like, some Lynyrd Skynyrd or the Dukes of Hazzard theme song while they were doing that. That you know that was happening, right?
Well, of course. You know it's what? Georgia.
You know what? I'm gonna take this a step further. If you boys don't mind, I'm gonna take it a step further. The Georgia Bureau of Investigation is in on this conspiracy. The local authorities of Elbert County helped plant the bomb. Probably the ones that did it. That's why no one saw the getaway car driving like a bat out of hell after planting a bomb. What? Al, did you have any more things you would like to discuss about the Georgia Guidestones?
That was it. That's it. So
I'm fascinated by all of this bullcrap. It just, I don't know. The fact that everyone jumps to, well, the gosh dang Illuminati did it, of course. And then it springs into, well, it had to be the devil, of course. To the fact that Merle and Cletus were sitting in their pickup truck, cracking open a couple of Pabst Blue Ribbons, got a little schmammered and were like, I bet you won't blow it up, you son of a bitch. And he's like, well, I'll show you. And then I'm going to kiss my cousin. And then they went and did it. They went and done the damn thing. The dang-do, they did it. Well, that's going to make one hell of a new season of King of the Hill. I just don't know. I mean, of course this happens in Georgia. This got erected anywhere else in the South, this would have happened in a very similar fashion. Now, if it's here in Arkansas, we try to blow it up or get it hooked to meth, but we would try something.
Honestly, I think what surprises me is the fact that it hasn't happened before.
I agree. Right? I agree.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, it was 1980, so they wait 42 years to go ahead and plant the bomb. Like, obviously, people who have, like... I mean, it kind of sounds like, you know, one of those. I mean, it is the Bible Belt. Okay, yeah. You know, that's the thing is no, not trashing religion, but there are almost, I'm not going to say extreme Christian churches.
I will.
Because that's not probably the right word, but, you know what I'm saying, though, right?
I do.
Yeah, that are a little bit more on, you know, the strictness of the religion and everything, you know, Harry Potter's evil because it has witches and wizards and, you know, anything that's, you know, not the, Kirk Cameron movies or whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you can't watch and, you know, anything that has any other instrument other than just the piano, you can't listen to, you know. There are those types
shouldn't dance.
Yeah. There are those types of, you know, sects of Christianity that are, you know, out there that I can see them being like, you know, we need to get out there and destroy them Guidestones before they cause any more of this plague upon our nation, you know? And
so I understood why people lost their collective shit over what? Where was it? First here, and then it moved to like Oklahoma. The statue of Bahamut, the satanic prophet thing. Like, I understood people getting upset about that, and I understood that it felt like that was just kind of a smartassy. Well, religious freedom says I can also do this, doesn't it? And like, I totally get and appreciate the use of that kind of pettiness.
Yeah.
This wasn't in a town hall. This wasn't in the middle of a town. This seems like you had to go out of your way to go to this field to see this. Like, why was this such a thing where these assholes were like, we're gonna blow it up?
You know, and it may not have even been something like that. It could have been literally two guys driving around like, what are we gonna do with this bomb, George?
That's true.
And it was like, quick, throw behind them stones.
I hope that there's a poorly made TLC or A&E film made on this, and it's just like, we're going to blow up Stonehenge. And it's like, all right, you know where it is? I think it's in Georgia. And then they just like, it's two guys from Mississippi drive over to Georgia. Not understanding what they're blowing up. I don't know. I think if you want to go full conspiracy with this, don't just invest in the conspiracy that is present, right? The fact that a shady organization erected these stones and gave it all this cryptic hoo-ha. Also believe that if damage was done to it, it had to be another shady cult. Like there's the militant front of Christian extremism did this. I don't know. That sounds like a thing that might exist. I don't know. But Al, I like the cryptid corner. I'm glad we have it back.
I honestly think at this point, given that it was 42 years since the thing went up and no one has tried to destroy it, they've just, you know, vandalized it at this point. I think, honestly, and it's Georgia, a couple people were just driving around. They made a bomb. They were driving around with it. And they're like, shit, we got to do something about this thing before we get pulled over.
Wow. Okay. So this is what I want. The comment section of the explosion YouTube video. The fact they leveled it so quickly afterwards tells you all you need to know. That's right! The government did this! Let's go, conspiracy theorist! Let's get it! I love it! The blast was horizontal. The debris flew out horizontally, not upward. The damage was to the monument, not the ground. There is no bomb crater, no ground disturbance shockwave, and the cameras remained stable, even though they were on poles mounted on the ground. Footage of a silver car seen leaving, not being shown arriving at the site. That actually is a good point. Footage of the car seems to have disappeared. Something isn't right. This doesn't pass the smell test. Yes! Georgia government elected officials are the ones that did this! Let's go! Law enforcement's in on it. The mayor's in on it. Take that, Elbert County, Georgia. You're rotten to the core. I love it. Because this is the fact that I didn't think that this was already devolved into this point of discourse. I feel foolish. I'm glad we're there. I appreciate it.
You know what? If we really want to get down to it, we just need to send in Reacher.
The A-Team Reacher, Jack Ryan, whatever the guy that did 24, whatever his name was, Bauer, Detector.
Jack Bauer.
Yeah, Jack Bauer. Send Jack Bauer in there. There was a guy that was attending orientation at the university today with a student who was in the military, and he just wrote on his name tag because the guests just write their names on name tags. His name was just Jack, and like she lost a bag, like his student that he was there with had lost a bag, and he's like explaining it to us to see if we had seen it. We're like, no, and like we'll talk to the orientation leaders. Can we give them a name of who it was? And he goes, well, her name is this. I'm like, well, okay, but like, who are you? I'm of no importance. I'm like, what the fuck? She's got her own Jack Bauer attending orientation with her. That's awesome. I think the fact that almost nobody believes the news about anything anymore is positive. All right, there you go. Thank you, Guidestones. Al, what is the next cryptid you would like to? This is like spun out to where it's not just cryptids. Pretty much anything,
yeah,
right?
It's anything now. I've got three you could pick from.
Okay.
Three that I want to do right now that you could pick the first one.
Gotcha.
So we've got The Legend of the Bandage Man.
All right.
Killer in the Backseat or the Fresno Nightcrawler.
TJ, if you had a pick, what would you choose?
Honestly, The Bandage Man sounds interesting.
The Bandage Man, like right off
because,
the bat,
like,
did catch my attention.
The Fresno Nightcrawler just kind of sounds like a serial killer.
That's fair.
But like The Bandage Man, like literally sounds like a horror movie idea.
Yeah. Yeah, which okay. we've done the Phantom of Texarkana. Mm-hmm. That was one of ours. I thought that was interesting.
The town that dreaded sundown.
Yes. Al went into the whole discussion on that too. Yeah. Okay. Well, awesome. Well, TJ, that's your open invite. Next time we do a Cryptid Corner, you're more than welcome to show up and hear about the Bandaged Man. Conspiracies abound. Mystery, mystique, intrigue. All of these questions lie unanswered, and ultimately I am left with an overwhelming feeling of this. The Georgia government destroyed them their rocks and got rid of it. Listen, again, some of this is just poking fun at a pure and honest sense of skepticism. Some of it is just stirring the pot to be involved in what some people are already spinning. Controversy is fun at times when it's not being used as a radicalized weapon to blow up rocks. Agreed, admittedly. But I hope that you were at least entertained by learning something that you maybe potentially didn't know about these stones that had been down in Georgia. I mean, I guess the devil went down to Georgia, but now we had stones down in Georgia, and they were just looking for a soul to steal, I guess. They were in a bind, they were way behind, and those two guys in that muscle car blew them up. I don't know if that's how it's supposed to go, but fire on the mountain, run, boy, run. Devil's in the house of the rising sun. And you know what? I just can't stop thinking about that song now that it's in my mind. Maybe you can't either, but this has been Mr. Cack and Me. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope you'll be back for the next episode. If this is your first time listening, please go back and check out any of the other episodes and see if this is an adventure, if this is a neighborhood that you would like to be a part of. I mean, who wouldn't want to be Mr. Cack's neighbor? Well, probably the people that I accused of blowing up the Georgia Guidestone. That might be a fair assumption, right? Probably don't want them as neighbors either, honestly, because if they would blow up Guidestones for doing nothing, me insinuating that they did something probably makes me a very blow-upable target, huh? All right, not gonna think about it. All right, bye.